is that I'm still honest with my music, even if I was wrong at that time. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I don't want people to ridicule, is the process of growing up. Because you can't grow up without being an idiot at one point in your life. Welcome back to another episode of the Collective Podcast. We sincerely apologize for the super long hiatus that we took. We really needed to just gather our thoughts, kind of fix and restructure everything, and we're kind of back now. We hope that the new structure of the Collective Podcast
is more entertaining.
Yes. And entertaining. Yes. Today, as my co-host, I have my wife, Crystal, again.
Hi.
And it's going to be a more casual episode today of her just asking me questions about me, I guess. Mm-hmm. Our 7-year anniversary is coming up, and in 7 years, there's still a lot of things that you'd be surprised that you don't know about your partner.
Well, I think it's more surprise than work, because you don't really talk about it. I have a gist, like a general idea of kind of what you do, but not really in detail of exactly what it is you do. I have many questions, mm-hmm. and a lot of people have asked me, and I just say, oh, he's like the boss of his own company, you know? So, no, this is a good way for not only me, you know, but for, you know, the listeners to get to know you. Mm-hmm. So.
Alrighty then. Let's kick it off with, I guess, questions.
I mean, I guess the first question would be, like, what made you start this company? Like, what motivated you to do it?
So I'm a 90s kid. I was born in 92, but I grew up with my older cousins, so they're like the 80s kids. They grew up with like hip-hop. They grew up with like the old Korean hip-hop stuff. Growing up, I listened to a lot of YG family stuff. So I listened to a lot of One Time. I listened to a lot of like Genuine Sean. Back then, before YG Entertainment was the way it was, what they had was YG Family. Mm-hmm. YG Family, that concept of creating together as a family, that was dope to me. And I grew up like that, where it was like, I knew that I sucked at school. I knew that everything I was going to do was either going to be an entertainment or was going to be something with my hands. Mm. So growing up super heavily influenced by all that, I eventually got into film. At that time, I had no idea about music. I had no idea about anything. But I randomly stumbled upon Comtech in high school. While in Comtech, I learned a lot about music videos, and that's the aspect that really caught my eye. Mm-hmm. Music video, that freedom to be able to create something, mm-hmm. and that was dope. Being able to connect with people, and in the music world, the people that you like worked with eventually ended up becoming almost like family, and that to me was like the coolest aspect. So after graduating high school, I went to college for television broadcasting. Television broadcasting. We had this, what do they call it? I can't remember, but it was like an outdoor film course where you had to do things that weren't broadcast related. Mm-hmm. So you could go out and you could do like a regular broadcast of like outside news. Mm-hmm. I decided to do music-based projects. So I had found a local rapper that I worked with at McDonald's, mm-hmm. and I collaborated with him to make music videos. And that's what caught my eye, and that's how everything kind of worked into what I do now.
Mm-hmm. I guess, like, you being heavily influenced by that during school, you ended up making your own music, too. So I guess, like, my next question would be, like, what is it that you love and you hate about your job, not only as an as like a CEO, but also as a musician and like, I guess, like a talent manager too, because that's what you kind of do also.
What I hate about my job, I'll start with what I love is I love working with talent, because when I see and I work with people that are talented, it opens my world a lot more. It continues to open that box to allow me to see what small, like, to me, growing up in Kitchener-Waterloo, that's small. Mm-hmm. But because of it, it blew that box up, and it was like, oh, there was a lot more outside of the city. So I was more involved with work in Toronto, work in Mississauga. And it was because of that that, like, really got me stuck. Mm-hmm. The getting to understand and getting to see more than what I could see with what I knew. Mm-hmm. Talent brought that to me. So I met a lot of great people because of talent. I met a lot of amazing people that I call my friends to this day. A lot of people that I might not like associate or talk to anymore, but they were still a part of my life because of that talent, because of this artistry. So I guess something that I really love is being able to meet and open my eyes to something a bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Something that I hate about my job is that work is going to be the hardest thing to find because it takes a lot of investment. And in my field of work, you have to understand that you're not going to make much. Anything that you do make, it's from investments or anything outside of that. So whenever I say I have my own company, people just assume that I'm like a CEO. Mm-hmm. But what people don't also realize is that I do branding. I do marketing. I'm a talent manager. I'm a videographer. I'm a photographer. I do everything because that's my job. That's what my job entitles me to do. Mm-hmm. I am everything because if I'm not, I have no work.
Mm-hmm. So I guess like, one thing that I've always admired about you is that the amount of times that you've been rejected by certain people, or, you know, when you have like an idea and you want to go and talk to somebody about it to see if they can help you with it, it's amazing how like it doesn't stop you. So I guess what I want to know is that how is that you don't allow that rejection to stop you and you are still so motivated to keep going regardless?
I think it's just the resilience and the... When I first started, it was just straight petty. Mm-hmm. Because people didn't want to help me. I was so petty. I was just like, okay, if you're not going to help me, then I'm going to be the person that you're going to come and ask for help. Mm-hmm. And then it got to a point in my career where it was like, I was that person that everyone was coming to ask for help now. Mm-hmm. And then it became a power trip. And then that's when everything fell the first time for me. Mm-hmm. Now, more so than ever, I think it's just the ability to be able to see people grow. Mm-hmm. That's what keeps me going, is I grow because people grow. So I help, when I help, let's say I help a singer. Yo, some people might not think these singers are anything. Mm-hmm. And when I find them, hey, sometimes they're not that great.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's that first project of putting them out there that's like, they felt better. They did something and they accomplished something, and that makes me feel better. Of understanding that my hard work and building my portfolio made you feel better because you got to do what you wanted to do the way you wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, amongst all that, you know, doing all of that work, how do you make time to do work for yourself, like making your own music, you know, like taking time out of your day to write, because you seem to be juggling all of this behind the scenes, but you at the same time, like helping others, you need to kind of help yourself too.
I think, and the thing is, for listeners that don't know, is I rap on the side too. So I write and I rap and I produce my own stuff. The thing about that is that I find time to do all that when I'm taking a break from doing other things. So when people work their 9 to 5, they come home and they relax. Mm-hmm. With me, I always say, like, I work a full day and I don't really stop working. Because in between, when I take breaks to, like, let's say I take breaks to eat or I take breaks to go do something, I'm thinking of my own music now. At that point, it's me time to do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. So if I'm eating, I'll eat right in front of my computer and I'll listen to the beat. I'll start writing as I eat. Mm-hmm. After I finish eating, I'll put it away. I'll record a couple bars and then put it aside and then get back to work. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's like a puzzle piece. Like, okay, if I have to work from, let's say, 6 a.m. till noon. Okay, I'll work 6 till noon and then take my break. At my break, I'll eat my lunch. But as I'm eating lunch, I'll work on my music. Mm-hmm. So I work from my music from, let's say, like 1 to 3. If and during that process, I don't feel motivated to write, I'll just go back to work. Because mm-hmm. I need to keep my mind active. I feel like I'm one of those people that, like, if I'm not active, it bugs me. It bugs me to a point where it's like, if I have to write nonsense, I'll just write nonsense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess, like, for me, like, seeing you keep, you know, like, writing, and sometimes, you know, like, you don't put up any of your own music, you know, you write and you write and you write, but out of all the 7 years that we've been together, you don't put up any of your own music. And why is that?
I think it's because music is personal to me. Music was never something that I wanted to pursue. Music is just something that I fell in love with. Mm-hmm. It's the music business that I do. So, talent managing, photography, videography, that's my job. Mm-hmm. Rapping and writing, that's not my job. That's personal to me. When I write, it's something that I feel from deep down inside. A lot of my music is very deep because that's what I feel. It's my diary. It's my therapist. For me to put it out there, I know that it may not be healthy, but for me to put it out there, that's me admitting to these demons that, yo, like, you have control of my life, and I don't want that. I will put it out there, like, I'll put it on my SoundCloud, mm-hmm. but just because I know that people don't listen. I don't want people to find my music, and if people do find my music, great, go for it. Do whatever you want with it. Pass it around, do whatever. Mm-hmm. But for me, all that is like a book, and I control that book. I want to open that book when I want to open it. I can close that book when I want to close it. That's what my music is to me.
But don't you think that other people would be able to relate to the type of music that you write, and it could be very, like, helpful for them during those times that they're going through, similar to what you were going through?
Yeah, wholeheartedly. I do think that my music is relatable, but I think thing about it is that, like, the lyrics are relatable. Mm-hmm. The person that I am is very different. The person that I am, I'm like, I always say, is like, I'm a super introvert, mm-hmm. but I can lie about being an extrovert. Mm-hmm. If I need to be, I can. But everything that I do and everything that I am is draining at that point. Mm-hmm. Music is a part of my me being an introvert. Mm-hmm. So when I'm an introvert, I feel better. Writing, it makes me feel better. Rapping, it makes me feel better. I enjoy the process of music, of rap. I enjoy the technicalities of rap. Learning the rhyme schemes, learning to rhyme, learning to write, learning to record, mix, and master. I enjoy all of that. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it because I have to for my job so that I understand and I learn from it. But the music aspect of it, I think, is more just so super personal. It's my diary, and I don't want someone opening it without me knowing that they've touched it. So, like, for example, what I mean is, like, I post a lot of myself on SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. If they find it on SoundCloud, hey, that was my book, and I left it there, mm-hmm. open. You decided to listen. It's okay. At that point, I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. But for me to publicly put my stuff on, like, the table and be like, here, everyone read it, I would never do that.
So I guess it's, like, almost like feeling a little bit, like, exposed and sharing your deep and inner thoughts, that sometimes you need to get it out, but you still don't want to broadcast it to the world.
Yeah, especially because my music, so the thing about my music is that it's progressive with who I am. Mm-hmm. So my earlier music, it's because at that time I felt a certain way, mm-hmm. compared to, like, today, the yeah. music that I write today. Mm-hmm. The reason why I don't broadcast it is because, and I don't mean to make people sound so bad, but it's like people are not understanding of growth. They are willing to go and cancel people without understanding the growth aspect of a person. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like I do, but at the same time, maybe I'm not seeing, like, a bigger... Well, I mean, I do, but, like, what exactly is it that you mean? Like, are you afraid, so, like, that they're going to, because you've said what you needed to say, they're going to be like, oh, you know, like, this guy don't know what he's talking about, yeah, you know? Because
at the end of the day, like, the music that made me start music mm-hmm. was super heavy. Mm-hmm. I started out with songs like Glass Heart and I'm Sorry. Those are the songs that it made waves. Like, people recognized my music for that. Mm-hmm. But songs like that was during times when I was still a kid. Mentally, I was still a kid. Mm-hmm. So when I'm writing music about, yo, I hate this person. Yo, this person did this to me. That person did that to me. This person hurt me. But now as an adult, I'm writing more music of understanding how wrong I was. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to go and I'm going to take my music down, because my music is still a part of me. Mm-hmm. That music is still a part of the process of a human that I grew into being. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's kind of why, like, I don't promote my music, is because I don't want to take my music down. That music will always be a part of who I am. Mm-hmm. I love my old music. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really bad, but, like, the production work, the lyrics, it was super easy, just something that I made very quick, but it's what I felt.
No, but it's like you said, it's like it shows the progression you have gone through from that 20-year-old that was like, you know, like, screw everybody, you know, I can do it on my own, to realizing, oh shit, like, I do need other people, you know, like I do need, you know, their help. And yeah. And it's nice to know that, like, you know, like, your music reflects your growth.
Yeah, of course, because, like, when I first started music, I started music because the people around me did music and influenced me super heavily. Mm-hmm. But because people in my life during that time of my life, me as a child too, I didn't understand certain things. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't understand the context of what was happening, and everything got blown out of proportion. And so I was angry. And so I wrote music that reflected how hurt I was, how sad I was. Mm-hmm. But me now, 28 going to 29, my music is different now. My music, I'm not going to say like 3 or 5 years down the line, I'm going to look back and be like, oh, my music, that's perfect. It's probably going to be the same as how I'm looking at my older music. Mm-hmm. But it's a progression of my life. And I don't want people to go and ridicule my thought process back then. Mm-hmm. Because that thought process helped me grow as well.
Mm-hmm. That's true. No, I totally understand that. You know, like, I guess, like, it's really hard, you know, like, being the type of writer and rapper you are, you know, and then it's so, you know, people don't write like that anymore, you know, like, they're writing about their honest feelings, you know, like, about their past and, you know, accepting those faults too, you know? So, I guess, how do I say this? It's unique, you know, music like that. It's genuine, and you feel like, for me, like, I'm not biased by far. I'm very picky on when I listen to music, but when, you know, like, I listen to your music, you know, like, you feel like I'm able to feel what you're feeling.
Yeah.
When you write it.
And that's something that I've always treasured about my music, is that I'm still honest with my music, even if I was wrong at that time. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I don't want people to ridicule, is the process of growing up. Because mm-hmm. you can't grow up without being an idiot at one point in your life. Mm-hmm. It's because of every minute of being an idiot that you understand to be a better person tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And that's what my music is that every process, making the music that I made, coming up to this point and being who I am as an artist, as a CEO, it's just a part of that journey. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, like, I say a lot of people don't understand right now, is it's a process and it's a journey to be a better human. Like, mm-hmm. you understand? Mm-hmm. Like, for example, right now there's this whole TikTok thing going on about Eminem. People trying to cancel Eminem for a lot of the shit that he was saying, like, back in his old music.
Why?
Well, because Eminem was a super controversial rapper back in the day. Mm-hmm. Not controversial, but he said a lot of things that wouldn't fly in 2021.
That's true, but that's because the times were different back then, too.
Exactly. But people are not understanding of the fact that time mm-hmm. and growth happened during that time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay? When Eminem wrote those lyrics, hey, that during that time, that's what people were doing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But also, the person that he is to this day is someone better than he was 10 years ago, 20 mm-hmm. years ago.
That's true.
Yeah.
I guess, like, the way you write reflects off of your, like, your values and your, and the way you, like, go about things, you know, like, yeah. So that also, I guess, reflects onto, like, the company too.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do you implement your, like, not saying it's, like, imposing, but how do you do that for your company? You know, making sure that everybody, you know, kind of sees what you sees too.
I look for people that strive for the same reasons that I do. So when I look for people, it's wholeheartedly out of building a family, not building a company. Because when you build a company, there's always going to be a hierarchy. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's my boss. Or, oh, I can't chill with this person because, you know, she works for me. Mm-hmm. I've never liked that process. I've always loved family-based, like, businesses, because they cherish the business. They cherish everything and anything that I bring value to. So, like, for example, like, when I started this business, I was still a kid, but the one thing that I cherished very much was how people looked at younger kids. Mm-hmm. When we were doing music and when we had dancers and we had all this and all that, people looked at us like we were thugs. But that image of us looking like we were thugs, I never wanted that for anyone. What I wanted was for these kids to have family mm-hmm. during their roughest times.
Yeah.
And I felt like I accomplished that with them mm-hmm. was because high school is one of the hardest times yeah. for kids. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're doing and they're still trying to figure out themselves. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the kids that I was helping, they were high schoolers.
Yeah.
So they were either, I had kids going from grade 9 up to like college. But each and every kid had someone in the company to back them up all the time. Mm-hmm. So it was like, for instance, let's say someone had a rough time at home. Like they're fighting with their mom or their dad. Mm-hmm. Trying to teach these kids the value of family and trying to teach these kids the value of understanding. Mm-hmm. That was the hardest part. Understanding. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to do it alone because they had other kids doing that too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I would say something and it wouldn't reciprocate to them, another member of the company would say it to them. Mm-hmm. And then another one would say it to them. And then another one would say it to them. So eventually it would kick in and they'd start to understand, oh, my mom and my dad weren't bad people. It's just, I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like you said earlier that, you know, you wanted your company to be like, you know, very family based. You know, like what made you approach, you know, starting a business, starting a company like that? You know, rather than just calling it a company, you call it a family. You know, like where did that come from?
From when I was a kid. Like I said, I listened to a lot of old school hip hop, but the ones that popped out the most was YG Family. And then after YG Family, it was like, yo, that was cool. Mm-hmm. It was the aspect of family that was cool. Like you saw the oldest members of the company come out and rap with the youngest members of the company, and they were like hyping each other up. Mm-hmm. That mentality stuck with me. Mm-hmm. But then after college was when that mentality hit me even harder, when I joined a company called BNS. Mm-hmm. Because they kept that family motto and that was everything I wanted. And I saw it. It was like when I first met BNS, there were these members, like to me, they were like the elite members of this company, where it was like the rapper, the singer, the producer. Yo, they had their own small family, and it was cool. Mm-hmm. It was cool to see them look at each other like brothers and sisters. And to me, that was like cool because you're doing music together. You're doing this art together. Mm-hmm. And then the younger members of that company, these dancers, they looked at each other like brothers and sisters. They looked at each other like best friends. Mm-hmm. And that drew me even more into that concept of family over business. Eventually, yes, the company diminished, but the relationships that grew out of that, I still have to this day because of that model of family. Mm-hmm. That I kept in touch with some of these members. Mm-hmm. I still look up to that motto, and that's why I build my business around that motto. Mm-hmm.
Mm. You know, like I've always had like a burning question. Statues Collective, you know, like what does it mean? Like what made you come up with that name?
So Statues Collective is actually a two-part. Statues came from a song, Juno Flow's Statues album. His album Statues, in the in the album, his title track, Statues, talks about how he wants to make a mark in his city, like a statue. Like, when you look at New York, everyone thinks of the Statue of Liberty. Mm-hmm. That, to me, was, like, the coolest concept. Like, yo, if I could make my mark, I could build a statue. Not of me, but of everything that I represent for my city. Mm-hmm. But I knew that I didn't want to do it alone. So that's why I came up with Statues Collective. Because as a collective, as a collective of people that thought like me, that pursued everything like me, it could grow to be something more than just me. Mm-hmm. Even if, for example, like, we've had members leave because they've wanted to expand their own artistic skill set, or they wanted to go and pursue something else. To me, you're already a part of that collective. You've done your job. You've done everything that you were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. As a part of that collective, is learn and grow. Because mm-hmm. Statues Collective was meant for people to learn and grow and make your mark where you needed it or where you wanted it to be.
So I guess the collective is more of like something more for the kids, you know, that is looking for a way to start their passion. Is that kind of what it's like?
Kind of, because it's like this, right? Like, for my idealism of this is more so like the people that become a part of Statues Collective. To me, you're already a statue. You're building yourself as a part of that statue. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand that as you build yourself, you're building an impression on every person that you meet. And they are the collective. Our community is the collective. Mm-hmm. They're not a part of Statues Collective, but they are the collective that's outside that you make an impact, you make a difference on. Every day, that your actions, your words, your determination, your motivation, that's going to be a part of that collective. Is you are building the future generation to become stronger.
You know, like, it's nice to know that, you know, there are people out here, you know, people like you who don't forget where they come from, you know, and they use that as a motivation and also, you know, to keep in mind, you know, like, to stay humble, you know.
Well, that's the thing, is that I'm not going to say it was easy, because during this journey, there were times where I fell off, and it was for the very wrong reasons of doing what we do. It does get to you when you walk into a room and people are like, yo, I know that guy. Mm-hmm. Yo, I know what he does. I know everything that he does. Yeah, it gets to you. Mm-hmm. But that's when reality is going to kick in, mm-hmm. and kick you in the ass.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what it did for me, was it kicked me hard in the ass and made me lose everything that I had. Mm-hmm. And I had to rebuild again. Yeah, but this time I had to rebuild with humble beginnings. Mm-hmm. With humble approaches, mm-hmm. and understand that, yo, I'd already failed once. My failure, that's not just my failure.
Yeah.
My failure goes on to my family. It goes on to every kid that I had made an impact. Mm-hmm. That if I failed, they'll feel like they failed. And that's what hurt me more. It was not my failures. It was them feeling like they were failures because I failed.
Damn. I mean, it's, you know, like, you, when you say stuff like that, you know, it just, like, it makes me realize more than ever, because I see it, you know, like, I see it, how you care for the people that come into the company, you know, even if they eventually leave, mm-hmm. you know, like, you still care for them, you know, you still have so much love for them. You will still check up on them, you know, making sure that they're still okay.
Because we're human. And what people need to understand is that it took me a long time to understand this too, is that the people that show up in front of me and say they need and want help, I will help. But what I cannot forget is that I am not there to make them a superstar. Mm-hmm. What I am there to do is assist them during their journey. Because their journey, what I've realized over the years of me doing this, mm-hmm. I've been doing this since, let's say, 2013, 2014, mm-hmm. is that 98% of the people that I meet don't do entertainment for a living. Mm-hmm. They've gone to become hair technicians. They've come, work as auto shop owners. They've done psychology, science, business. That's their route. Mm-hmm. But what I'm there for is to help them find that route so that they're not lost during that middle part. Mm-hmm. That when they look back, they'll have the happiest moments and the memories that they could ever have. Mm-hmm. Just like I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I see that, you are so happy when you see all these people that you have met, and that have impacted your lives too in a positive way. You are so happy for them. And, you get so excited too. Their accomplishment is also your accomplishment. You're just so... It's like I said, you're just so happy to see them do so well. Not in a way where I helped you kind of thing, but you're happy for them in such a genuine way.
Yeah, because I think it took me a long time to see that. Because when it first happened, I took it as rejection, and that's what hurt the most. Mm-hmm. But what I failed to see was how much of an impact I had made on their lives and their decisions to reach that point that they reached. Mm-hmm. Every kid that I've helped is doing something with their lives, and I'm so happy for that. Everything that I see or I hear from these kids, it makes me happy because they still held on to memories. They still held on to people in their lives that helped them. Mm-hmm. During those times. Mm-hmm. For me to say it hurts because they're not with me, or they're not a part of my team, and they're not doing this and that, that's selfish. Mm-hmm. And we can't be selfish in this world. Someone has to be willing to sacrifice to see happiness. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want, is to be happy. So I'm willing to... And that's why I built Statues Collective this way, was so that even if we take on artists and even if we take on this and projects, and they decide to leave, mm-hmm. 1 or 2 years later, mm-hmm. we will not be affected by it, because we had already built a company for branding, for marketing, mm-hmm. for other means. Mm-hmm. What we built with the artists was a family. And so when they leave as family, just going off on a journey. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just nice to hear that they still can come and, talk to you. It's not once they leave, that's it. Because I've seen that happen so many times where they break off with a company or a group of people that they've spent a considerable amount of time with. And then that's it. That's the end of the relationship, and that's that. They never try to talk anymore, and it's almost like strangers, But it's nice to know that, you are still so open to, them, reaching out and, just giving them advice or whatever it is that they need help with.
Yeah, of course, because it's the most I can do as someone that is... continued to chase their dreams. I've been through my own failures. I've been through my own stupidity. Mm-hmm. That if I cannot give them proper advice, mm-hmm. it would hurt me.
Yeah.
Them being a part of my journey as well as chasing their own journey, mm-hmm. teaches me. So it would be selfish if I'm being taught everything, but I'm not teaching anything either. Mm-hmm. So everything that I'm taught, I'm willing to teach. Everything that I'm given, I'm willing to give. Because if I don't, this world would just live off selfishness.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. I don't know. I guess, like, for me, I'm very, like, and, you know, like, you've done a lot for my family too, you know, and so that's why I know that, you know, you're not just saying it, your actions really do speak louder than your words, you know, like, you've done so much, and it's just nice to know that, like, you know, like, there are people out there, you know, once something bad has happened to them, like, that's it, like, they can't, they find it hard to trust other people.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, look, like, bad things happen all the time. Mm-hmm. But when people, the one thing that I do agree with that people say a lot is it's how you pick yourself up after the bad thing happening. Mm. If everything that bad had happened to me and I decided to just continue to hate, I could. It'd be a lot easier. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I hate, what am I teaching the people that I come into contact with? What am I teaching everyone that I meet? That mm-hmm. I am no better than the person that they were walking away from. There are people that come to me and towards Statues Collective because they feel and they resonate with the message. They resonate with me and the people within the company. They resonate with all that. Mm-hmm. So if I continue to say, oh, I made this song because I hate this person, or I'm doing everything I'm doing because I hate that person, or I hate how this is being done. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't make me any different from anyone else that's doing what we do.
That's true. That's true. I guess, like, you're very different from other people with how you approach, you know, like, approach to, you know, like, being a friend, you know, and, like, I can't really call you, like, a boss because you know, like, you are a person, like, that person's boss, but you are more of a friend, a brother, you know, like, a father figure, you know, to that person rather than their boss, you know?
And I try to keep it that way because there's a distance that, yes, I have to maintain so that the company continues to grow. Mm-hmm. But I never just want to be straight out someone's boss. Mm-hmm. Because that's what made me walk away from a 9-to-5. Was having bosses that didn't give a shit about me. Mm-hmm. Was having bosses that are willing to give me orders but not willing to do anything if anything were to happen.
Yeah.
I would rather be the older brother or the best friend that if there's a task that's hard, yo, I'm going to tell you that it's hard and I will go through it with you mm-hmm. so that we can complete it. But I will never be that boss to be like, hey, I need that done. I need this done. I need that done. Mm-hmm. If I myself cannot do it, then I shouldn't be ordering people to do it.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. It's, you know, like, and that's what I've always noticed, you know, like, I'm not much so like a very like I'm a hands-on person, but I like to, you know, also be on the sidelines and watch. And I see how you talk to, you know, the people in the company, you know, in the family, like, you know, you're not so like when it comes down to it, you are stern because, you know, work needs to be done. But then, like, after you get, like, all that, you know, nitty gritty, like, aside, and you're actually working, it's such a nice environment to just work in, you know, mm-hmm. because you're not like, you're not the kind of, like, boss, like, quote unquote boss, like, that will just sit there and, like, you know, be so hard, you know, like, no, you know how to joke, you know, or, like, you know, give nice constructive criticism, but, you know, you also poke fun of yourself too, because, you know, you've done it too.
Yeah. That's the thing is, like, look, I have to be someone that's relatable. Mm-hmm. every time I've had a boss, it's ended badly because I was never able to relate with them. Mm-hmm. But when I, like, right after college, when I found BNS and I went to BNS, the one thing that made me stay was having a very relatable boss. Mm-hmm. He was like an older brother to me. The way he treated me, the way he, like, I still remember his advice to this day. And that was like 2013, 2014. I still remember it to this day. Mm-hmm. Because it was important to me. Mm-hmm. And if I can do that for someone else the way my boss did that for me when I needed it, everyone will be okay. Everyone will be fine. Everyone will find their own path. Even through the darkest times, they'll find it. Because mm-hmm. it's just like, when my boss had disbanded the company and he was about to leave for Korea, he called me down to have one last meal with him. Mm-hmm. And so we did. But then the last thing I said to him was like, hey, you know, like, because of you, I have my own company and it's doing great. And all he said to me was, that's great. And I'm so proud of you. That word right there, I'm so proud of you. People don't understand how significant that is to someone like us who are always chasing for what we want. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of you. That right there means the world. Mm-hmm. That right there is the reason why we still continue it when we fall. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, the advice that he gave me was never forget who brought you up. And he said that to me because BNS brought me up. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget that foundation right there. That's mm-hmm. why I built this company on that foundation of family. I built that foundation based off friendship. I built that foundation based off trust. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, I know your boss, like, is very, you know, he means a lot to you, you know, because, you know, there are times where, you know, I guess he does come here, you know, every now and then for work too. And, you know, and whenever he hits you up, he's like, you know, hey, can we have dinner? Or hey, you know, like, can I talk? Or, you know, whatever it is, you always make time for him, you know, because he's been such a huge influence in your life, mm-hmm. you know, and it's people like that, you know, that have helped you, and you're leaving like an everlasting impression, you know, on the people that have crossed paths with you.
I feel like I have to, because I'm not who I am without everyone that I've met mm-hmm. along the way. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like this whole mindset that everyone has that, like, oh, if you have no social presence, you're nothing. Because a lot of the people that I meet and a lot of the people that I do help, they don't have social presences. We don't have social presence. Mm-hmm. What we do have is friendship. And that right there means more to me than the world. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the millions of people that'll watch our stuff. I don't care about the billions of people that exist on this world. I care about the one person that I interact with and change their life, because that one person will make a difference onto another person, will make a difference onto another person, will make a difference onto that person. And that's something that I've had to understand since I was a kid, was that you can't please 2 billion people. Mm-hmm. But you can please one, because that one will please another one. You made a difference in 2 people's lives. But those 2 people will continue to make differences. And every person that they make a difference for, you are a part of that reason why they made that difference.
Mm-hmm. That's true, you know. It's people like them, you know, that have that in the back of your head when you want to give up, you aren't going to. You tell yourself you're not going to, mm-hmm. you know. So, like, I guess what I want to ask is, like, people that are going through something similar that you're going through, you know, like, or not going through now, but like before, you know, where there are times where you've tried so hard, you know, and but sometimes you just want to give up, you know, what would you tell them during that time?
You know, I could give them like the most cliche answer, but a good answer, I think, would be your sacrifices are still not enough. Everything that you've done up to that point, it's not enough. Mm-hmm. Yo, people think like you sacrificing every individual that goes through this that I've met always tells me, oh, I've sacrificed this and I've sacrificed that for this and I've sacrificed this for that. Honestly, every single person that I've met, I've always told them is, that's all you sacrifice? Because I've sacrificed a lot more. My parents have sacrificed a lot to trust me, mm-hmm. to chase my dream. Mm-hmm. That takes a lot.
Yeah.
So when you fail, you have to understand that your failures are not the end of the road. It's the beginning of a dead end. You'd already hit a dead end. Just keep going. There's another path. Go right, go left. You'll figure it out eventually. This world, when you're chasing your own dream, when you're doing what you want to, especially in entertainment, mm-hmm. how many people are artists in this day and age? Everyone is a rapper. Everyone is a singer. Everyone is a SoundCloud rapper. Everyone is on Spotify.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore. It matters about what you are doing. To me, I'm a great rapper because my content, it's mine. Mm-hmm. My content is relatable. Mm-hmm. Every time I listen to it, I think of that one moment that the reason why I wrote it, mm-hmm. the reason why it exists. Mm-hmm. People that are going through all this, it's just the beginning. I'm 28 going to 29, okay? I still haven't, to what people say, found success. But I am successful because no one can say they've helped as many kids as I have find their profession. Mm-hmm. I've had people come back to me and say, you were such a huge impact in my life. That right there, just stop, because I felt that already. It makes me feel some kind of way when I hear that. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel great when I hear that. Mm-hmm. That's my job. My job is to make you feel comfortable during your journey. Mm-hmm. Everyone will find their way. Just how resilient are you?
Mm. You know, that's something that, like, I wish I had heard too. I mean, I have heard it, but like before I met you, I wish I had someone to tell me that, you mm-hmm. know, to that. And, you know, like people don't understand, or people might not understand that, like, what you say is not like to be harsh, but like, you know, like, I guess it's how you see things. You know, you think you might be giving up, you know, a lot. But as an outsider looking, you have to question, like, that person's going to question you. It's like you said, have you really done enough? Have you really gone to the point where, like, you've lost everything? Where you've sacrificed everything and now there's nothing left? Like, have you gone to that point? Because yeah. I know that you have gone to that extent.
Yeah. You know, because, like, look, the one thing I always say is that these celebrities, these artists, these people, I don't look up to anyone mm-hmm. ever, because they're just people just like I am. Mm-hmm. The only difference between those people and me is that they were willing to sacrifice everything they had for everything they wanted. Mm-hmm. But when you're willing to sacrifice everything you want, it does come at a price. They say, the one thing that I hear people say is that, yo, like, you have freedom. But I always say is that if you have freedom, it comes with a price. Mm-hmm. How much are you willing to sacrifice for that freedom? Mm-hmm. as an artist, you have to sacrifice working a month straight just to buy a mic, a computer, an interface. Mm-hmm. I've worked out of my, like, my living room and my bedroom making music and helping kids record music out of my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And that was me working at McDonald's, me working as a janitor, until I made this full time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I mean, I guess that's like, we kind of went off topic, you know, not, we didn't really talk about you.
No,
you know?
It's okay.
But it's nice to have, you know, conversations like this, you know, where like, it's because we as like listeners, you know, really get to understand you, not in a very like generic way where it's like, mm-hmm. oh, what's your favorite color? You know, what's your favorite food? You know, like, but you really understand who you are as a person by the way, like through like conversations like this.
Mm-hmm. And I do agree. And I think with how the collective podcast, with how the collective podcast will be, where we have decided to put out 2 episodes a week, it'll be a lot more natural, casual conversation where wherever it leads is wherever it leaves leads. We could start with something, but it could end up somewhere else. And I think conversations like that are super important because it dives deeper into a thought process that some people might not understand. Mm-hmm. Some other people might not see.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, I think that is it for this episode. We've actually been at it for quite a bit. Thank you again for everyone that is listening or, you know, has downloaded the podcast.
Thank you for supporting us, you know, yes. and listening, you know, because when we started it, we didn't think anybody would listen at all. We wouldn't think that we would, you know, be even continuing. We just thought we'd try it out, you know. So mm-hmm. thank you for all, you know, even if it's a small amount of people, even if it's 5 people, you know, those 5 people listening to the whole thing, even if it's just a little bit, it means a lot to us.
Yeah. We're hoping to put out 2 episodes a week. We're hoping to put it out, what was it, Tuesday and Friday?
Yes.
So every Tuesday and Friday, we're hoping to put out episodes. So let's see how that goes. Hopefully that happens.
Yeah, hopefully.
Once again, thank you for everyone listening. That is the episode, and thank you.